there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
That's the call of the Christian. That's what we are to be about. True faith is a serious business. True faith is the beating heart of true life.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
We're going to open our Bibles today to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Hear now the Word of God. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask you today, by the indwelling in our hearts, Lord, that you guide us, that you give us wisdom, that you give us knowledge, that you carry us through the perfect Word of God, that it speaks to our hearts today, that in somehow, Lord, and in some way, Spirit, that by your power we are changed to be more like Jesus Christ. Lord, that's the longing of our heart. And we long to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the Lenten season, which is a season of really just devoting yourself to the things of God, to keeping your focus heavenward, to keeping that 40 days in front of you, keeping the cross in front of you wherever you go, to understanding Jesus in your life, that you're carrying him wherever you go. And so as human beings, sometimes we need these times to just compress our thoughts and thinking. And that's really what the Lenten season does and is all about. And so throughout this Lenten season, what I've been doing is, and what I will continue to do, is take from the Gospels what the life of Christ is all about. Of what he did from the time of his birth to baptism, which we covered last week. His temptation in the wilderness that we touched on last week. And now he goes out to proclaim good news. That's the next thing that we hear on what Jesus does in his ministry. Jesus began his ministry proclaiming, delivering a message of the good news. And in the Gospels of Matthew chapter 4, the very beginning after, once again, his baptism and his temptation in the desert, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 4, Jesus went to Galilee. after his 40 days in the desert and began proclaiming the good news of God. Now, the good news in the gospel is the word we've covered here various times in the Greek, euangelion, which we would know as evangel, evangelism, evangelist. The evangel that Jesus preached was this gospel, good news gospel, that's what the word translates to, of repentance and belief in this good news. It's a God-changed life of authentic faith in the message of the gospel and a reconciled relationship with the living God. That's what Jesus came to do. And so he calls us as he's going out and he's preaching. We see this right away. Calls us to repent. And so what does repent really mean? It's typically one of these Christianese usages that we have, and we think people know what they mean. He tells us in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, to repent and believe the good news. In Matthew 4, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the word in the Bible, repent, literally means change your mind. And it does have a bit of a further connotation because of the imperative present active verb that it is, and that simply means to change your mind and your life for the better now and always. It's a continuous command. So in reality, this sort of idea for one to repent, which can always be looked at as some sort of a negative thing, where you're hiding your head and you're humbled before God and you're waiting for, you know, the sword to fall and you've done wrong things. And it can be looked at in a very negative way. You know, many times when we see the word repent in a secular usage, you may see some scary Christian pastor, you know, telling people to repent, right? But it's not negative at all. It's not bad. It's not unattractive. In fact, it's positive, good, and very attractive. It's the call on your heart to change the misguided, hurtful, disobedient things that you're now taking part in, to change your life, to change your life to what the good news has to offer. That's what Jesus is calling you to, this glory of entering into the kingdom of heaven, of being part of God's family. And if you have that idea of repentance, the idea of changing your life for God, I mean, you can't get any better than that. That's the call of Jesus on your heart. And the second thing that he talks about, because he says, repent and believe, is the idea then of faith. So when Jesus is calling us to repent, he is also calling us to believe, to have faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Faith is having spiritual eyes. Faith is seeing heavenward. Those supernatural things that you can't see in this material universe. Authentic, genuine faith in Jesus Christ means believing in him with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and your whole strength. Showing it in your actions. Your whole being, in other words. That's what true faith is. True faith acknowledges the good news. True faith sees the good news that Jesus brings and says, yeah, I hear that. I believe that. True faith then goes a step further and accepts Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. It's one thing to say that, yes, Lord, I believe in you. It's another thing to accept him as the king of your life who guides you. The Lord of your life whom you follow and whom you serve day to day. And so you have to acquiesce then to him with all that you have. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the call of the Christian. That's what we are to be about. True faith is a serious business. True faith is the beating heart of true life. It's the serious desire then to love God, not the serious duty to love him. And there's a difference. It's a relationship with God that Jesus is getting at. Now, this is a brand new concept to the people of that era in the first century, especially to Jews. This whole idea of this relationship to God. But see, Jesus says, repent and believe, not only in his spoken message, but to believe in him. See, this is where this message that Jesus gives is so amazing and wonderful in the lives of a Christian. Because the good news isn't simply accepting. The good news is not simply believing in the words, in the message, but believing in Jesus, believing in him. See, Jesus came to preach and be the good news. He was the spoken word that spoke all things in existence, and yet he was the living word who walked on the earth, who existed eternally, who exists now as king in heaven. He was and is and forever will be the embodiment of the good news. And when you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, I mean, what you find and what has been traditional in the sense of understanding the four witnesses of Jesus' life, right? Matthew the apostle, Mark who wrote for Peter, Luke who wrote for Paul, and John the apostle. And typically in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's more of a narrative work and the following of the historical Jesus. And what John did in writing his Gospels later is sort of fill in the blanks. And so reading all of them create this beautiful diamond with different facets on the diamond to see the whole and beautiful life of Christ. And the Gospel of John seems to me to draw out much more completely this mysterious understanding that we're not to believe only in the message of the gospel, but the messenger. The idea that the message and the messenger are indivisibly tied together as one. And so, I mean, this is important, so try to follow. I'm going to go through a little bit in John here. And if you read my last, and we talked about this in our Bible study today, if you read my last devotional on Saturday. See, John starts out in chapter 1, verse 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. See, John right away is tying in the message and the messenger as one, the Word. And the Word, he goes on in chapter 1, verse 14, became flesh to bring the truth, but also to be the truth. And the Word became flesh in verse 14 and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And And so as John begins to unfold this idea of a real relationship with God, we see in chapter 6, and I encourage you to read it, the idea of why the sacrament of communion is so important. That we must take in all of Jesus, not just the message, not just the simple message, but all of him. In verse 35 of chapter 6, John says, Jesus said to them that I am the bread of life, that he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. You know, it's Jesus where we get our sustenance. It's Jesus where we get our ability to live and breathe and have our being. I mean, John even goes further in verse 53, and he says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. And at that, many disciples left him because they couldn't take that message. But the message that he was proclaiming is the message of this inwardness of Christ in you, of all of him. And when you know Christ, you know the truth. In chapter 8, as we go on in the Gospel of John, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, the one thing about being a Christian is you know the truth of existence. You know the truth of the origins of life. You know the truth of who God really is. You can go outside in the evening and see the stars, and you know who created those. Now, as you know, people don't like that, who aren't believers. People look at that and say, you're exclusive. You're trying to exclude people who don't think like you. And so they make up their own gods. They make up their own story of life on earth. They make up their own story of the existence of the stars and so forth. But as Christians, the Holy Spirit lays on your heart this belief in the Word of God. And so we have His Word so we can understand these things, and we have the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said that he did not only show the way to salvation, he was and is the way of salvation. We continue on in John 14. Jesus said to them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You see, there is only one way to heaven. There is no multiple paths up the mountaintop to the top of the mountain, heaven. That's the message that Jesus came to proclaim. You cannot read the Gospel of John and come away with any other conclusion. You can't read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and come away with any other conclusion that this is the plan of God to reconcile His people to Himself, that we who believe may have eternal life. And so as believers, we're mysteriously connected to Jesus. He talks about the fruit of the vine in chapter 15 of John. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. See, there's this connection that you can't even describe it in such a way. It's a grafting, yes, but it's the fluid of life going through Christ and you all at the same time. It's this mysterious connection that we have to Jesus Christ. That we are spiritually connected. In chapter 16 he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. As the apostles had the teaching and the preaching and the relationship with Jesus, we as Christians have the teaching and the preaching and the knowledge and the wisdom and the relationship of the Holy Spirit that abides in your heart. It's supernatural. It cannot be explained from a natural point of view. It's that same thing as last week we talked about, this hole in your heart that needs filled. That's what fills it. That's the truth of life that fills it in Jesus Christ. Your union with Christ is a living message to the world then. See, how you understand this, how you comprehend this, how you work in this mystery of Christ in you will be a living message to those around you. Jesus prayed for his apostles in chapter 17, "Father, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity." Why? "So that the world may know that you sent me." We are messengers of this sentness of Christ. We are messengers of why Christ came. And wherever you go, you're carrying Jesus with you, whether you like it or not, as a Christian. And so we must learn then to show Christ wherever we go. And we're not always successful at it, and that's why, by the grace of God, he allows us to confess our sins and to come to him. That he puts our feet back on solid ground again, that picks us up so that we may go. And then hopefully, as life continues, we grow closer and closer and closer to Christ and act more and more and more like Jesus. Learning more about what it really means to be a Christian is truly amazing. It really is. There's so much stuff in this Bible, in this truth of God's Word, that connects us with this supernatural nature of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Is Christianity exclusive? Yeah, I guess it is. In fact, I know it is. It's the truth of life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." That, beloved, is the truth. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, you are awesome indeed. You do give us the truth. You do connect us with the truth. And you leave us, Lord, with the great sacrament of the bread and the wine, of your body and blood, so that we know in this mysterious way that we are connected to heaven. That you do speak in our hearts through your word. That you do give us wisdom and guidance according to your will. That we are fed by the bread of life. And our spiritual sustenance needs no more than that. Jesus, we thank you. Our Lord and our King, our God and our Savior. And so prepare our hearts today as we come to you in this sacrament of the Lord's Supper. As we join in union with you, Jesus. Power of the Holy Spirit and the will of God the Father, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.